Welcome to Embracing Continuous Behaviour Change for Anger Management, the podcast that helps you to calm your emotions and communicate effectively. I'm your host, Claire Broadley, the Anger Management Coach. In this podcast, I'll bring you expert interviews, inspiring stories, and practical advice on calming your emotions and living a more peaceful and fulfilling life. So sit back, relax, and get ready to master your emotions. So good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us at Control the Flame, our podcast to help you with emotional resilience. So I'm Claire Broadley, and as always, I have a wonderful guest for you. Today, we are joined by Diana Tyson of Natural Transformation Therapy. Diana, thank you so very much.
Thank you so much for having me, Claire. And any nerves that I have just completely gone out of the window. It's so easy to talk to you.
Thank you. That means a lot. Thank you very much. And we've had this podcast planned for ages. And honestly, if anybody had just watched what's gone on between us since 1 o'clock, we've had IT issue after IT issue. And we've been chasing each other around the internet. So it's been quite funny. But here we are. And I think that shows our resilience.
It definitely does. Lots of things like computers do go a bit strange with me, Claire, because of me being Reiki trained. So they can go a bit weird and I have to like Reiki them and calm them down and then they'll sort themselves out.
Do you know what? It's really weird because, so just for the listeners, Diana and I are in our co-authors in a book called Beyond the Ordinary, Navigating the Creative and Neurodivergent Mind. Look how quickly we got that in. We've not even done 2 minutes. We've not even done a proper introduction of you yet. And I've been reading everybody's chapters. It's not been released yet. It's up for pre-order. And so many of those chapters talk about spirituality and talking to the spirits out there. And it's made me think, oh, do you know, there's something more to this. And in even saying that now, I've got this warm feeling inside of me. So I don't know if it's because it's just in the book and because I've been reading the chapters and being drawn to it, or whether it's kind of like my spirits are knocking on my little bonce saying, all right, Claire, come on, we've been waiting for you to open up.
Well, they do say that neurodiverse people are more open to spirit because we use a certain different side of our brain. Are more in tune with spirit than other people because we use that certain part of our brain that other people don't.
We are
more attuned to maybe feeling those empathic feelings of sensitivity, feeling like when you walk into a room that you're feeling like, I call it spider senses.
Yeah,
where we're a little bit more aware of what maybe might have happened in the room, people in the room, people's energy. So, yeah, people say to me when they come into my healing lodge, how did you know that? And I've not even told you. And I'm like, well, because I'm intuitively energy, kind of, you can just feel the energy of a person. I can feel the energy of a person, which chakra I need to work on.
Okay.
Without them even telling me.
I love that. I absolutely love that. I'm like, oh my gosh, I so want to have a conversation with you. And here we are. So will you very kindly just give us a very brief introduction onto you and then we'll have our coffee chat.
Yeah. I'm Diana Tyson of Natural Transformation Therapy. I'm an intuitive healing therapist and teacher. So I train people in Reiki, Sakim, Egyptian Katush, crystals, my own natural transformation therapy. Natural transformation therapy is approved by the British Complementary Medical Association and the Healer Foundation. And it was actually given to me by spirit.
Wow.
With working with all the other things that I know. So all the wealth of wisdom that I've got of holistic therapists, one of my friends, a mentor to me, kept waking me up at 3 o'clock in the morning in Canada going, you've got to write this stuff down. And I'm like, it's 3 a.m, Sue. And I try to ignore them. Now, anybody who works the spirit knows you can't ignore them because they just get more and more persistent. So for 3 hours, for 3 days, from 3 till 6, I had to write this information down.
Wow.
I was also aware of like energy meridians, acupressure points. And it's using that along with my own intuition. And it is like a drawing therapy as well. So you do use colours, you bring in some different chakras, you tap in, you tap out the emotions you don't want, but it's about using the person's words. So it's their words are powerful. And it's about, what do you want to move? What do you want to get rid of in your past? What's bugging you? What's a memory that you would like to just, actually, I'd like to not be attached to that anymore. So it's about you working with me in as a team. And then we tap into it, we let the emotions go, and we bring some real positive energy in. But we do that by doing colouring and a sequence. And the sequence is, I'm going to stand up, is a diamond.
Okay, yeah.
And my logo is a diamond. And that's how I got my therapy. Basically, one of my spirit friends came to me and said, this needs to be out in the universe. Wow. I've been using it a lot with teenagers who were having horrendous times trying to get back into school, even after long COVID, after COVID.
Yeah.
It's got social anxiety. So a lot of teenagers are coming to me, and yes, a lot of them are neurodiverse. So I'm like, yeah, because I've got 2 kids that are neurodiverse. I'm neurodiverse myself. So I'm very much aware of what could challenge them. So I don't... Yeah. I don't put I don't put pressure on them to discuss what they need to discuss. This actual therapy can be done as a silent protocol as well. So they don't actually need to tell me, which is fabulous.
Yeah.
People have gone through any trauma or gone through something that they really don't want to vocalize. You can do it with this as well. So it'll clear that
energy. It's traumatic to bring it back up, isn't it? So that's fantastic. It's very much along the lines of NLP as well, that you don't have to discuss that. So that is so fascinating. Honestly, I could listen to you just talk about all of that forever, because it's not something that I've ever, ever kind of been drawn to learning about. So I very much shut myself off to that, I guess. But listening to you, I'm like, oh my, there is so much to know. So prior to this podcast, you sent me some kind of show notes so that I could learn a little bit about you. And from that, you said that your connection to spirit started at 8 years old. And that was with your great-grandma, Nellie. So will you tell us a bit more about how great-grandma Nellie kind of was your first...
Yeah, no. I'm getting all goosey. When I go all goosey, they're usually in the room with me when I go goosey, so they're already here.
I've gone goosey too, so.
Well, basically, at the age of 8, I went into my mum and dad's bedroom. They were out for the night. My brother was looking after me, and my great-grandma Nellie's photo was in a frame. I never met her, and it moved. It didn't just move a bit. It slid. Well, I absolutely pooped by myself. I was like, what the hell have I just seen that frame move? And I went, ran downstairs to my brother. I'm going, I've just seen this photo frame. No, you haven't. He's like 5 years older than me. Shut up. No, you haven't. And I'm like, I did. I saw it. And in my head, I said, I don't want to see. Which is really good, actually, because what I did then at that moment was close it.
Okay.
My mum's clairvoyant.
Okay.
And my great grandma used to see in dreams, and my great grandma Nellie was a clairvoyant. I didn't want to see. It was just too much for me. I felt like it was like I was only 8, too much going on.
Yeah.
And I was only a child. So it was like, wow, what is all this happening to me? I don't want to see. But they're really good as spirit, because if they want to work with you, they'll find a way to work with you that works with you. So I went and did my Reiki 1 training. when I was doing my holistic therapy training. And from that moment on, when I did my Reiki training, I felt in control of it.
Okay.
I felt like I knew that, obviously I had some spirit guides and things like that, but I actually felt like this was the right time and that I was able to deal with it because I had my Reiki master to talk to. And basically, what they do with me is I love music, I love dancing. So they come to me in songs, and so I'm clairaudient and clairsentient. So I hear and I sense. So one of the big things I always say to them is, I don't want to see how you passed. So I'm very much, and I made a contract with Spirit, because basically I went and did psychic development and mediumship and went to people who were mentors. And they basically said, Diana, just make a contract, love. They won't pay. So like a job description.
Yeah.
You do a job description for Spirit.
Wow, I cannot believe that.
Yeah. That's what you do.
Wow. I'm absolutely, my mind is just being blown.
So, yeah, what they'll do is they'll, if say somebody's coming to me for Reiki, I'll actually say to them, you know, I am an intuitive healer. So if you don't want to hear from spirit, that's absolutely fine, because I understand. But if you do, then basically it like opens them up to come and say, give me some messages while somebody's having Reiki with me. And a lot of the time they'll give me some bit of information that's just very relevant to them. I don't get names, I don't get dates. It's not like that. I'm not like, oh, great uncle Fred's coming from some.
Yeah.
I don't get that. I get like one lady came to me for Reiki and she was just that. And do you know the Songbird by Fleetwood Mac? And I love you, I love you, I love
yes,
you.
I do, yeah.
So literally I was getting that, and I'm in my head it kept saying, I went, do you mind me saying this? She went, no. So I said, is this important? She says, yeah, that's my mum's funeral song.
Oh, my God.
So I said, I've got your mum then, haven't I? And then all these things just kept coming, and she's like, nobody knows that information.
Do you know, that has just brought tears to my eyes. Wow.
And she just says, nobody knows, apart from anybody who went to the funeral, that
yeah.
was
Yeah, that's not public knowledge, really, is
no.
it? That's not something
no.
that you could just look up on Facebook.
No.
And so when you talk to people, and then I know there's a lot of people out there who are like, yeah, whatever, like I've just said, or you're just yeah. going on Facebook and you're just speaking to people. And I guess part of me, probably when I was younger, was like, they just, you know, I if I was going to somebody like a spiritual healer, or is that what you would call if I was going to come and say, I want you to speak to whoever, my dad, my auntie?
I suppose you could either come for a card reading, or you could come for Reiki and see what happens. Because when we're in Reiki, I go into kind of almost like a meditative state.
Okay.
So that's when I become more receptive. So if I'm doing any form of healing, it's like, whoosh, this is where I become more open. I do card readings. I actually run my own intuitive connection to spirit circle as well, which is online, which helps like-minded people do card readings, connect with the spirit guides. So I help people facilitate that so they get a better, stronger connection with the spirit guides and spirit family. So if you were coming to me and you were coming for Reiki, I'd just say when you came in, are you open to anything
okay.
that may happen within this session? If you're not, that's absolutely fine. I shut it off.
Important
if you, so because you hear all this, I know we shouldn't say, but most haunted, and you'd get specialist mediums who'd say, oh, I'm being possessed by so and so. You can't be possessed. They can step into your aura, but nobody can possess you.
So that program that we all used to watch, Most Haunted, with, was it Derek O'Hara, where he suddenly become possessed? That's not true.
The person, the spirit, can step into your aura, which means you sense them very deeply. But it doesn't mean that they're actually taking over your body. You do get their mannerisms, you'll get the way they speak, you'll get...
Oh, okay.
You'll get that, because that's what happens to me sometimes. I'll become that person almost, and I've got all their mannerisms without realising. And they'll go, that's exactly what my dad would say, or, God, you've just done his mannerism, because...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so you get that.
Wow. I just wish people could see me right now, because my face is just like, I'm absolutely, my mind has been blown. So honestly, this is just amazing. So how do you protect your energy when you're working with someone, when you're getting, what do you call it?
Messages.
Messages. Yeah. When you're getting messages, mm-hmm. how do you protect kind of your own mental health?
Okay. Well, basically, I protect my energy anyway, but I also have my three spirit guides with me, and I call them a bit like my bouncers. So they make sure that if I feel like I don't want somebody coming into a reading, or I don't like that person's energy, I literally just block them.
Okay.
But regarding my own energy, I make sure that I have Reiki regularly.
Okay.
I meditate, I walk in nature, I protect and I cleanse myself. So I'll cleanse myself after a session with Pablo Santo and bells, so that I'm making nice. Sure that I've smudged the area around me. I cleanse my room regularly. I have crystals on me
okay.
all the time.
Yeah.
Crystals are amazing. And I have the contract with spirit, so I know that they're not going to overstep that mark. And when you do Reiki, the wonderful thing about Reiki is whenever you provide Reiki for someone, you get Reiki too. So even though I'm giving healing, I get healing as well.
Wow. Wow. So when you just said, like, you have your three spirit bouncers, that's what I'm going to call them now as well. And you say, if you don't like what's coming, then you can shut that off.
Yeah.
Is that you saying to your spirit bouncers, don't let that in? Or is that you shutting that off?
That's me shutting it off.
Okay.
I learned very early when I was doing a card reading for somebody that literally there was an energy that I just didn't like. I was like, and you're not coming in. So I literally put a perspex. I actually put a brick wall.
Wow,
and I just said, you're not coming in. I said to the person who I was reading, I said, I've got an energy here that I don't like. Normally, I think when you've had a reading, they'd come in, but they're not coming in today. I explained who it was, and she went, absolutely fantastic. Thank you for stopping that person coming in.
Oh, wow.
Because they weren't a nice person in her life when they were alive. So they ain't going to be a nice person when they're in a reading. She says, you're the only person I know that's been able to block her. And I went, no.
Wow.
They ain't coming
in. And that's
in.
Almost like re-traumatising, isn't it?
Exactly.
So that would be amazing that you can say, no, you're not coming in.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So let me look. I've got some questions. So we're going to talk about some personal challenges and growth, etc.
Yeah.
So you've experienced significant loss and personal challenges, including grief and your own illness. So how have these experiences shaped your role as a healer, and how did you personally get through those difficult times?
Okay. I have to say that grief has been quite a massive player at the moment. I'm not only that, but I'm going through the menopause, so that sort of adds to it.
Yeah.
But I had 5 really close family members die within 7 years. Wow. And we were the carers for Justin's uncle, Justin's dad, and my stepdad. And those 3 lovely people had cancer, basically.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And that was really tough. Mm. However, the year before Justin's uncle had got cancer, I trained in cancer care for aromatherapy, reflexology and hypnotherapy. So it was always somewhere that I was drawn to help people. And I thought, if you can help people through one of the difficultest journeys of their life, and, you know, maybe palliative care, or help the carer that's also caring for that person, then that's a really valuable role. So once I'd got cancer care trained, the year after I then had breast cancer.
Oh.
So there's never a reason why you don't do training, is there?
Yeah.
I knew that I'd need to help it with my family, but I actually literally just recorded 3 cancer care hypnotherapies, one which is like pre-op and after. And the operation, basically, because I love Star Wars, is Yoda was going in with his little lifesaver and chopping it all out. Because Yoda got all the cancer out. So that's what I did. And then 2 weeks after I'd had my operation, I listened every day religiously to this other hypnotherapy. Mm-hmm. And I just knew, because the spirits were also saying to me, you're going to be okay. So then when I went back to see my specialist, she was amazing. And she said, oh, well, I've got to warn you, they might need radiotherapy. I says, I don't. She says, no, we've got to wait for the oncology and blah, blah, blah. I went, I'm telling you now, I don't need radiotherapy. And she's going, no, I can't confirm that until we get the results back. I went, listen. And she actually said to her members of nurses, she says, I want you to all know that this lady is Reiki trained and that she's a holistic therapist. So she will throw everything she knows at this cancer to get rid of it, which not many specialists would actually open that forum in a conversation. Yeah. So anyway, 2 days later, she rings me up, Diana. I went, yeah. She was giggling on the phone. I went, you're telling me I don't need it, do you? And she went, you don't need it.
Wow.
And she was just so kind of pleased that obviously I didn't need it. But she was like, your resilience to saying, I don't need radiotherapy. She says, you blew my stocks off a bit. So then my stepdad got esophagus and throat cancer. And that was palliative care. But he'd just had his radiotherapy for the week before lockdown, which I'm so grateful for.
Yeah.
But my stepdad was basically the dad that I would have wanted, you know.
Yeah.
You've ever seen Practical Magic where Sandra Bullock? Actually requests what she wants in a partner. If I wrote everything that I wanted in a dad, he was it.
Wow.
So we had a very special bond. And I just threw everything at him, Reiki, reflexology, hypnotherapy, took him to his favourite place in the beach at Kintuni in Clonmacnoise, and that's where he was pain-free. So when my stepdad died, he'd been in my life 21 years. He never thought he'd have a family. He never thought he'd have kids, he'd have grandkids. And so for him to have that family and that special bond, I just said to my husband, you do realise that when Ernest goes, I'll be on my knees. That'll be the one that hits my heart because I've got such a strong bond with him.
Yeah.
And then when the night before I had gone and we'd seen him, we weren't due to see him, and he just grabbed me and he kissed me and cuddled me. I said, you can't, it's lockdown, we're not allowed to do these things. And he went, oh, I'll break the law for you. And I'm glad he did, because the following morning he'd passed. It was really sudden and quick. And I've never felt such grief as heartfelt as that. I actually, when people say heartache, I kind of now know what that is.
Yeah.
And it's a tough one. It's a real tough one, because no matter what you try to do with grief, you might try and stop or change something or try and avoid part of it, and it comes and bites you back in the bum. So you have to go through it. And everybody's different from that journey. But I feel that because I have gone through grief and I have gone through deep sadness and that I've gone through cancer, that I can hold that space for people.
Yeah.
That I can really kind of understand what they're going through.
Absolutely.
The learning for me, I suppose, because somebody said, oh, there'll be a teaching, there'll be a learning. I'm thinking, I learned to all this heartache and grief.
Yeah.
The learning is that I can hold that heart space for somebody else. So that's why I've gone through, to be able to help others through grief, through cancer, through heartbreaking situations that are very challenging.
And I think that is so amazing, that, you know, to give people space and to know that you know, I am a firm believer in things do happen for a reason and that there's a lesson in everything. And that's hard to think when people are going through cancer and all of this lot, that you're thinking, well, there's a lesson in this. You know, you don't want to think that. You just don't want it to happen. But no. For you to have gone through all of that and then to still have that determination and resilience to hold space for people is absolutely outstanding. And that just shows exactly what you are, because you have received several awards recently. And I know you probably wouldn't have even mentioned it, but no, I'm going to brag about you.
Thank you.
Tell us about those, because you are, you know, this is the first time we've ever met and had a chat, and I'm already thinking this woman is absolutely amazing.
Oh, thank you. I won an award for the best holistic therapist and for West Yorkshire. Then I won the award for the holistic therapist and teacher. And then I won the award for the best transformational teacher. I'll go get my award, actually.
Yeah, go and get it.
There, sorry.
All right. Wow. That's stunning.
Yeah.
What's so, that? What's it? Natural?
Natural transformation. Best transformational therapy provider.
Fantastic. Wow. Yeah. And that and just...
There was an award ceremony, which I didn't expect, but I took my mum and my three women that had been my supporter, plus my husband, and I took them to the award ceremony. Oh, and that was really nice to share that moment, because it's not just you, it's your support network as well that have helped you to be who you are.
Yeah.
So I was celebrating them as well.
And what did... So going back to like the start, really, and you said that your mum, did you say your mum was a clairvoyant?
Yes, she is, yeah.
So what did she think? Did you tell your mum when you were 8 years old that the photograph had moved?
I kind of did, but then I didn't want to be, is she attention seeking? Do you know what I mean? You don't want to draw attention to yourself at that age. Yeah. It's like, I'd just rather just be me. But my mum and my nana used to talk about it when I was a teenager. So I'd be the shadow listening. So I'd then get a grips of stuff that they'd seen or my nana had experienced. And it was like, ooh, this is really interesting, you know. I mean, my great-grandma Nellie, she could, when, you know, they got the telegrams in the war.
Yeah.
She would get some people knocking on her door. Nellie, yeah, I've got this telegram missing in action. Right, okay, I want to know. And she'd be like, wow. Do you really want to know? And one of them was in a prisoner of war camp, and she told them that they're still alive.
Oh, wow.
So obviously this kind of thing has been in my family for a long time, but I'm probably the only person that has maybe done Reiki training and then taken it into their business.
Okay. Wow. Fantastic. I think that's my word of the podcast. Wow. You mentioned earlier, and I'm really interested in this, that you have this connection with nature, and that when you perhaps a cleansing, that you go out into nature. And I really connect with that, because if I'm feeling the need to be uplifted, or I say that being out in nature is my absolute place to be, and that, strangely enough, is my safe place. What's that all about? Is there something with nature that connects with us?
Oh, definitely. I mean, if you were having a bad day and you just couldn't even go to a park or anything, if you went outside into the grass barefoot, you would ground yourself instantly. There's something like so many electromagnetic vibrations at the minute that you put your feet on bare grass, soil, sand, you're grounded. So that energy from the earth just comes in. And then if you're surrounded by green and growing and nature, you are literally just putting yourself in the most amazing healing place.
Wow.
You know, you're growing from the earth. Everything comes from the earth.
Yeah.
So if we're connecting and we're out in the fresh air and we're seeing it green, we're seeing all the different nature, every type of different season, you are being where I say your soul kind of soars, because it's like I'm connecting with the place that I want to be. Nature makes me feel so much better. So much better.
Yeah, and I completely get that. And I see that you've done wild swimming. And again, that's something that I'm like, I'd love to do wild swimming. There's a huge water park near us. And I'm like, why can't I just go and swim in that?
Do it. Because when I'm in the water, I'm in the now. There's none of the stuff going on in my head.
Yeah.
I'm in this beautiful lake. There's little ducks. There's little baby coots happening. I've even seen a kingfisher. And I'm like, Wow. So I'm in that now moment. I'm not thinking about, tomorrow's dinner. I'm not thinking about, my son's doing this project and my daughter's doing that. I'm in the now. And the water just clears and cleanses me. It's like I just let any negativity go while I'm swimming in it.
I love that. And I quite often feel, I know I was in I was in a supervision. And I said, I like the feeling of coldness on my skin, which sounds really, really weird because you'd think you'd like to be warm, but it's the cold. I don't know if it's from my childhood or what, but just having that cool air against my skin is like you've just explained. It's that almost like I've opened up and all the goodness is coming in.
Yeah. And you're also letting go because you're allowing the water to just come in and cleanse and clear and take any negative energy. So again, like you were saying, how do you help protect yourself? Going and doing a wild swim. Absolutely perfect.
Well, that's it. I'm up for it. I need a wetsuit now. That's it. There's an expense. So if someone is interested in starting their own spiritual journey or exploring energy healing, what advice would you give them to begin with?
I would go and experience what Reiki feels like.
Okay.
Because every time you go and have Reiki, you are vibrating at a different energy level anyway. So every experience of Reiki is different. So I'd go and experience Reiki. I would look up a good Reiki master and then think about doing some Reiki training with that person. But there's got to be a connection there. They've got to resonate with you. And potentially go and have Reiki training. And that will help open up. Because every time you do have Reiki training, you open up the healing energy to come in and your spirit guides, and you just become more and more spiritually aware. Plus, you already know how to protect your energy, looking about how you cleanse your energy, looking about how self-care with your own energy. So Reiki 1 is very much about self-healing and self-care.
Okay. And is there different stages to it?
There's Reiki 1, which I would say is your self-healing. Reiki 2 is where you get your symbols. And if you wanted to provide Reiki 2 for somebody else, as long as you've got insurance, you can do.
Okay.
And then Reiki 3 is your mastership. So that mastership is where you take on the responsibility for training other people.
Ah, okay. I think I'm going to be getting myself booked in with somebody that I... That's not that far away, actually.
But yeah, I'm a Reiki, Sakim, and Egyptian Katush master. So I'm a master of all three.
What's Egyptian Katush?
Oh, everybody goes, ooh, yeah. Egyptian Katush is 22 or 21 gods and goddesses that you get attuned to. So it's like you get three lots of seven attunements in one day. So I don't do too many people. I only allow two people on that course.
Okay.
And I attune you to those gods and goddesses, and one or two of those gods and goddesses will step themselves forward for you to work more with them.
Okay.
So they become like almost like a bit like a spiritual mentor to you. So you'll get, when you're getting attuned, there'll be one that will come out and go, and you'll get more with them. So then you use that energy within your healing. You can also learn how to do an Egyptian Katush card reading as well within that. So yeah, it's really
wow. Do you know, you've blown my mind. You have absolutely blown my mind.
I'll fudge you.
So finally then, over the dog barking, what's next for you? Have you got any projects, courses, therapies?
Project is getting the book out there, getting your story told, letting people know about natural transformation therapy, which is what I've developed and created myself. Because of grief, I didn't really talk about it for the last 2 years because I was doing my own self-healing. I was having to navigate a really tough time. So I didn't talk about the therapy that I've created. And then my best friend said to me, why are you not talking about your therapy anymore? And I just said, now is the time to start talking about it, because people are becoming more awakened. Since lockdown, there's a lot more people becoming awakened to spirituality, holistic care, complementary therapy. So more and more people are kind of getting interested in this kind of work. I don't see it as work, I see it as passion. I'm just passionate about what I do. So really my project is getting more of natural transformation out there, doing more of the therapy, getting more people Reiki trained, so we've got more healers out there, Sakim trained, Egyptian Katush, and getting some people to know me as a spiritual person, because I worked within a big corporate company as their on-site therapist, but it was in a bank. So you can't talk about spirituality, can you? You know, for a back massage or an Indian head, or you're not going to go say, oh, grandma so-and-so has just walked in with you, because they'd absolutely run through the door. And I worked for them for 16 years. So when lockdown happened, I had to change how I was doing. So what I did in lockdown is I did a lot of distant healing. That's the lovely thing about Reiki. You can do it distant as well.
Okay.
And that really helped a lot of people. But I also did a lot of online therapy for free for key workers, because they weren't sleeping. They were seeing a lot of things that we weren't. You know, we didn't want to see. So I did a lot of online therapies for free. So you can work with me online or you can work with me in person.
And that was my next question. How can people contact you if they want to know more?
Well, the best place is probably my website, which is www.naturaltransformation.uk. You can call me on my phone if you want to. I love a bit of conversation. There's nothing better than a good old conversation. So my number is 07951506407. I love conversations, and I do a 20-minute connection call for free. So if you want to see if I'm the right fit for you, or you're the right fit for me, it's all about connecting. So I'm really very much about there's always the right therapist. I'm supposedly I'm talking more about my spirituality more than ever.
Fantastic.
Because I don't feel like I'm going to get judged, because, you know, I'm not everybody's cup of tea, but to somebody I am that absolute perfect cup of tea.
Absolutely. And we can't be everybody's cup of tea.
No,
that's why we're all individual. Absolutely. Yeah. I have thoroughly enjoyed our chat, Diana. Thank you so very much.
Pleasure.
Honestly, my little face is hurting from smiling so much. What an amazing podcast. Thank you so very much. I don't know what else to say. I'm blown. My mind is blown.
You're now going to get in that cold water and have a right good swim, aren't you?
I am, absolutely. I'm running down to that water park just up the road in my cozy.
Don't blame you. I want to be in a lake now.
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy listening to the episode and learn some tips on how to manage your emotions in a healthy way. If you've been affected by anything in the podcast, or if you want to share your feedback or questions, please email claire@angermanagementcoach.co.uk. Thank you for listening, and do remember, you have the power to calm your emotions and communicate effectively.